T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chris McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 877-337-6666. We will get back to your phone calls, but I'm going to take a second out of the show here to talk a little NFL Championship Sunday with Clark Judge of Talk of Fame Network. Clark, thank you very much. How are you, pal?
My pleasure, Chris. I'm doing well.
Good, good. You know, let's start with Tennessee here. Obviously, that's the early game, and I mean, what they've been able to do here, obviously the sixth seed, their season changes when they make the quarterback change to Tannehill. They play much better down the stretch. They still have to win the last game of the year to make it into the postseason. And I mean, what they've done here is historic. To go into Foxborough and beat the Pats, to go into Baltimore and beat what many people deem the best team in the NFL, and certainly looked that way the entire second half of the season. Did you see Tennessee being able to accomplish what they've accomplished here in the postseason?
No, and I don't think many people did. They go into New England, as you mentioned, in January, where nobody but New England wins.
Right.
And they beat Tom Brady in what might have been his last game. So you figure everything was in New England's favor. And they won, with a lot of Derrick Henry, but a lot of defense, too. The Patriots didn't score a point in the second half.
Right.
The Baltimore game was as impressive, if not more, because that's the presumptive MVP. The week before, they beat the greatest quarterback of the modern era, and then they beat the presumptive MVP. Those two guys together had one touchdown pass. So you go both of those places, and you beat them with the same formula, defense and a lot of Derrick Henry. Now they go to Kansas City, and people say, well, it can't happen. It can't happen again. Well, I've heard that, and I think, you know, Kansas City probably is the team to rely on here, the better team, but the fact of the matter is it's Mahomes against momentum, and momentum counts for a lot. I've seen this before, and so have you. 2005 with the Steelers, six seed, went on the road. They did it. 2010, Packers, six seed, they went on the road.
Right.
They both those teams won Super Bowls. This team's winning the way good teams win during the playoffs. Defense, running the ball, keeping, if they can keep Mahomes off the field, which you can, if they've got a great running game like they do and a great running back like Derrick Henry, you've got a chance. We saw it last year with New England. They didn't beat him with Brady necessarily. First half was running. And that's how they stayed close and close enough to win that game in overtime. So I think they've got a shot for the upset. My head says Kansas City, but my heart says Tennessee.
Right. Well, you mentioned how explosive Kansas City is, and we saw it, you know, down 24 points, and that doesn't even last a half, which is remarkable to me and to anyone who watched the game. So I understand the thought process. I do. You run the football, you keep them off the field. It sounds great. Do you really believe that this team can win this game with Tannehill throwing 100 yards? The defense is not nearly as good. I mean, they've been better, the Kansas City defense. They've come together. They've done a better job. They've got a little bit healthier. But they're still not nearly as talented as New England. They're not as good as Baltimore. There might be an option here to kind of try and score with Kansas City. Can they really win this game with Tannehill throwing 100 yards?
Sure, because they've done it the past 2 weeks. They can do it again. It's very simple how they play. This is not Houston. These aren't the Texans.
Right.
This team's not going to go into the fetal position and fold. They're not going to do that. And that's what you saw at Houston last weekend. They just gave up. I think they gave up something like 24 points in 9 minutes, and it was astonishing. Now,
yeah,
a lot of that was Kansas City, but a lot of it was self-destruction. This team doesn't self-destruct. And no, Brady's not here, and the Patriots aren't here. But Mike Vrabel is, and he's got that Patriots background, and he has got this team playing well. They're physical up front. No one seems to be able to tackle Henry, and people say, well, you know, put an 8-9-man box in there and stack the box. Look what he's done against them.
Right.
Nobody's been better this year. So, and then last thing I'll say is they played him earlier this year. He ran for 188 yards and two touchdowns against Kansas City. They won that game. And then your listeners will say, yeah, well, this game's in Kansas City.
Right.
Understand that. But Tennessee has won its last five road games.
No, they've been incredible. And see, but that's what I'm curious about, because they've had the option. They, you know, we all know how they're winning these games, and
it's pretty simple.
And actually, you know, it's amazing. There's been a lot of talk about it, and especially here in New York with Dave Gettleman, who likes to talk about winning in the trenches. Just to get off the game for a second, do you think Tennessee, and really you look at a lot of the other teams, the way San Francisco runs the ball, and we'll get to that game, the way Green Bay runs the ball, Have you got a sense here that in this age of the quarterback and in this age of the passing offense, that we're seeing something here about still the way playoff games can be won and maybe a little bit of a change in what many considered to be the future of the NFL?
I do, and it's not really a revelation. Again, I go back to New England last year, and New England in the playoffs, it wasn't so much Tom Brady, although he certainly was outstanding when he had to be, but they ran the ball a lot and said, we're going to get physical up front. And the reason is this. When you go to this passing game now where quarterbacks seem to dominate and you've got spread offenses, linebackers are smaller and they're faster because they have to be.
Right.
They have to be. So the offenses have said, listen, we're going to build a stronger, bigger, more physical front, and we'll dominate your front seven because your three linebackers aren't as big as they've been, and we'll move you around. It won for New England last year. It's winning for Tennessee right now. I do think the pendulum's coming back in that direction. You look at, well, as you mentioned, we'll get to San Francisco.
Right.
That's how San Francisco's winning. They've got three running backs who've gained over 500 yards each.
Right. No, absolutely. And then you get to the Kansas City angle of this game. Look, they're so explosive, and we just talked about how quickly they can score, all the weapons they have. The pressure on Kansas City here, I mean, to me, that's really, I want to see how do you think this team's going to respond after last year, facing a six seed at home here, Andy Reid's, you know, 1-5 in this game for Andy Reid in the championship game. Do you think that Kansas City, I mean, they came out flat in the first game and were able to overcome it? I mean, that's my biggest fear of this Kansas City team. Are you worried a little bit about the pressure getting to Mahomes, to the coach, to this team playing a six seed at home with all the previous playoff failures of both this team and the coach?
No, I'm not. I don't think that really comes into play here. Certainly, it's a factor. It's more a factor, I think, for people like you and me, people who talk about the game fans. But when they go into that game, I had a player years ago tell me, do you actually think we think about those things when we're getting the game? We're simply thinking about winning and how to win. But I do think when it gets down to, let's say it's a tight game at the very end, some of those things do come into play because some teams play not to lose, other teams play to win. And Tennessee's playing with house money right now. No one expected them to be this far. And right now, the way they've got this thing going, as I said, I am a believer in momentum. Mm-hmm. That's not to say I think they're the pick here. They're certainly not. They're a 7.5-point or 7-point underdog. But they've got the formula. That's right. Now, turnovers, takeaways, those things, injuries, those things can determine a game. But right now, what I'm saying is I think it's going to be a tight game. I think they can win this ball game. And if they play it as they have the past 2 weeks, I think they will win the ball game because Derrick Henry's, no one's stopping him. And people say, well, what happens if they get behind? Well, we've got the quarterback with the highest passer rating in the league. And guess what? They were behind Kansas City when they faced him earlier this year. And Tannehill's the guy that got them down the field in the last minute.
Well, that's really the question of this game to me. Say it's close. You assume Kansas City can score. We've seen nothing from Tannehill. He's made the plays. Don't get me wrong. He's made the big play in New England. The 3rd and 8 was a huge play. He's thrown the touchdown passes against Baltimore. Right. He's played well enough to win. He's made no mistake. He's good. You know, he's mobile. He's run for first downs. He ran for a touchdown against Baltimore. He's played very well. I'm not knocking him. But he's attempted 18 passes. He's completed 7 passes in one of these games. I mean, you know, he's thrown for under 100 in both of these games. Now, I know Derrick Henry has been a beast, but at some point you would assume in a championship game in Arrowhead against a very talented Chiefs team that can score at will almost, the quarterback is going to have to make some plays. I just can't imagine that he's going to be able to play the same kind of style and they're going to be able to play the same kind of game they've won these last two with in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that, you know, the statistics aren't a factor for Tennessee, and that's because of Vrabel's background.
Right.
If you're around New England, I've been around them a long time, they don't care about numbers. All they care about is winning.
Sure.
So people say, well, Brady threw 1 touchdown, 2 touchdowns. They don't care.
No,
they
of course.
They care about winning the ball game. And so he has to make the necessary plays. And as I said, he did when they were forced to come from behind against Kansas City in November, and he did that, and it was astonishing to me because I hadn't seen it in Miami that much. I've seen it occasionally, but I hadn't seen it that much. But he can make those plays. But to me, what you want to do if you're Kansas City is you go, yeah, we want to reduce it to Mahomes versus Tannehill because we can win that game. But the fact of the matter is, when you said can they stop that kind of offense, there's no offense that put up more points this year than Baltimore.
Right.
Baltimore led the league in scoring,
it's true.
The quarterback was unstoppable. Until he wasn't. And that's when they went against Tennessee.
Well,
so
yeah,
Tennessee
I would argue that the 4th and 1s are, you know, were something they were able to accomplish a lot during the regular season, and Tennessee did a great job stopping them. But, I mean, they did move the ball fairly well, Baltimore. It was a couple of plays here and there that kept them off the scoreboard.
Doesn't make any difference. Three turnovers in that game. They pressured the pocket. They stopped them doing what they did best, and they forced him to throw the ball, and he wasn't quite as accurate. And all of a sudden, they couldn't play from behind. He lost his poise. I don't think Mahomes is going to lose his poise.
Right, and we see they can play from behind. You know,
yeah, so. Kansas City could have closed out Tennessee when they were playing him, and it was a 3rd-and-2. Mahomes rolled out, and then he just took a sack. I mean, it was like, whoa, what happened there?
Right.
And he got the ball back, and suddenly there was a ball game that they won. Now, the field goal was blocked at the end of the game, but I don't expect there's going to be 900 yards scored as they were put up like there were in the first game, and there were 5 lead changes. I think Tennessee's got to get out in front, and then they'd say, okay, it's worked in New England, it's worked in Baltimore, it can work here. And why do we know that? Because we've seen it, and we're rolling. We know what has been done here. You go ahead, take Derrick Henry away from us because we don't think you can. And that, to me, is what it's all about. Not so much about Mahomes. It's about the Kansas City defense and Steve Spagnuolo. What are they going to do to stop a guy who seems to be unstoppable at this point?
I agree, but you're not going to hold them to 12, 15 points. They're going to score points. You're going to have
Maybe, but listen, would you think they could have held Baltimore to 12?
No.
I'd say no.
No.
New England to 13 at home? No.
Well, New England, that offense had been flawed all season long, and they really don't have any weapons. But the Baltimore game, I can't argue with you. It's a remarkable job. Despite giving up 500 yards of offense, to hold them to 12 was an incredible job.
Yeah, and then the yards in offense, again, they don't count that because they're going up and down the field.
Absolutely. Yeah, at the end of the game, at the end of the game, those yards don't count. I agree. But still, I felt even in the crux of the game, though, I felt there was – you know, that they come out that the opening drive of the second half, and they go right down the field. It's a 4th-and-1 on the 18. You know, if he kicks a field goal, maybe the game's different. If they get that, I certainly think the game's different. So I agree with you. They have to play from in front, no question. But I still just think the quarterback is going to be needed much more than he's been needed the last 2 games, and I don't know if he's capable of doing it. But let's get to the other game. We're talking with Clark Judge of Talk of Fame Network. You know, I've watched a lot of Green Bay, and when I look at this team, I put it this way. They're winning with defense and pass rush and running the football. Now, that sounds great when you have Aaron Rodgers and you go, wow, you have Aaron Rodgers and he can make great plays and you're winning, you know, with the run and with the defense. It's something he's never had. But at the same time, when I'm looking at this game and you put them in a championship game on the road, I'm going to need Aaron Rodgers to be the best player on the field. And
absolutely.
And so I it's all nice to say, wow, it's an Aaron Rodgers led team with a great run game and a defense that can win games. But ultimately, the way they've had their pass game going all year, they made some plays against Seattle last week. He obviously made the big third down plays to Adams and the tight end. But ultimately, this pass game has been nowhere all year with Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't throw touchdowns anymore. He very rarely throws for 300 yards. 13-3 is great. A win is a win in the NFL, but I'm very nervous going against an excellent San Francisco 49ers defense. We saw what happened with them earlier in the year when they met each other. I mean, to me, Aaron Rodgers has to be the best player on the field for Green Bay.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's for Green Bay, to me, to be competitive, because you look at that November 24th game, as you mentioned, 37-8. I've heard people say, well, it was a lot closer than that. Close to 29 points, 17 or 14? I mean, what is that? But Aaron Rodgers in that game had a total net passing yardage of 81, a career low, sacked 5 times. D4 didn't even play in that game. Joe Staley didn't play in that game.
Right.
The 49ers are healthier than they've ever been during the season. They play defense. Of the 4 teams out there, they've got the best defense. You look at that front 4, they're going to make life miserable for Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that back and the secondary, I mean, they're solid. They got Tart back. And, Quan Alexander's back at linebacker. And they've got so many guys. Staley's back. Dee Ford's back. And you saw what happened last week against Kirk Cousins, Minnesota. Now you can say, yeah, it's Kirk Cousins. He doesn't win big games or anything. But the week before, he did. He beat New Orleans.
Yeah, in New Orleans.
So,
that's a huge win
so
for Cousins.
I'm with you on Aaron Rodgers because, in his words, they have been winning ugly a lot this year. But that's kind of what they want. They want a balanced attack. They don't want it all Aaron Rodgers because where's that gotten them in the past? It's gotten them 1 Super Bowl.
Right.
And they won it, but it's gotten them 1. He's a terrific quarterback, great passer when he has to be. But he hasn't had to be all that often. Sunday he's going to have to be because, to me, of the 2 games, this is a much more easily to predict. I think San Francisco wins this game, and I think they could win it big. they're home. They also, they've got momentum. They believe in that rushing attack. They're effective. Right. They're powerful up front. They're a physical team. They think they can beat them at the point of attack because they did it before. And then they also say, listen, I can score on us because our defense is playing as well as it has. And I think that's the conundrum for Green Bay. They've got the odds stacked against them. Whenever they go to California this year, they're in trouble. You saw that game. I saw the Chargers game. Yeah, and they got drilled in that game.
Absolutely.
By a team that wasn't very good.
No, and you know what? That's the turn. To me, I know they went 13-3, but to me, that game was very telling because Aaron Rodgers finally had a couple of games in a row before that game where he played well. And early on in the season, I remember after the first win, there was a lot of talk, wow, they finally have a defense. They have this great running game with the running back tandem. And, you know, it's only a matter of time before Aaron, you know, picks up this offense and gets this team rolling. And it seemed like they were on that way and then laid an absolute egg against the Chargers. And since then, I've never seen that passing game get together. And like you've said, with this pass rush and with the way this defense plays, Aaron Rodgers has to be Aaron Rodgers. And
I mean,
the weapons, you know, besides Adams, I agree with you. I think this is a tough game to see any way Green Bay wins it. And you talk about the 49ers. I mean, we've seen them be able, you talk about their run game and they have the three-headed monster. At will, they can pick which running back is going to get 100 yards. And
I think that the hope for Green Bay is they reduce it, like I said in the first game, it to Aaron Rodgers against Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
That's not going to happen. I think that's what they owe, because Garoppolo will turn the ball over, and Rodgers won't. We know that. But I wonder if, let's just say for argument's sake, you stop Aaron Jones. You suddenly minimize the damage. Okay, now you're going to force Rodgers to pass. Well, that's no problem, because he's one of the greatest passers in the game today.
Of course, yeah.
But okay, after Devontae Adams, who's going to beat you? And I'm going to put Richard Sherman on Devontae Adams.
Yep.
Who's going to beat you? And I don't have the solution, because, as I said, I looked at, you know, Thielen last weekend and the Minnesota Vikings passing attack, which is going to be so devastating against them. They didn't do anything.
No.
And they were effective the week before against New Orleans. And New Orleans was not a bad defense. In fact, they were an improved defense as well, and had played well at times this year. But San Francisco's got all its bases covered. And the quarterback, we say, is sort of the X factor. I mean, I look at that New Orleans game earlier this year. He demonstrated he can rise to the occasion if and when needed. But I just think it's not going to come down to Garoppolo. It's going to be the running game, which is going to overpower him with a physical approach up front and a defense that Rodgers is going to have trouble solving.
Right. And you mentioned Garoppolo, and I do want to just ask you your opinion on him. You know, he's done nothing but win.
Right, 22-5.
I mean, he does nothing but win. He does. Yeah. He is prone to the occasional mistake. There was a lot of talk about last week when they played the Vikings, kind of a similar play with Cousins, how a talented guy, good arm, but, you know, prone to the mistake. He's obviously shown you, like you mentioned in the New Orleans game, he can put up points. He's got weapons with Sanders and Samuels, and obviously the tight end Kittle is, you know, one of the great players in the league. What's your opinion on Jimmy G? Do you see him being able to step up in this game? And, you know, if the way I understand you is you expect him to be playing in the Super Bowl.
I do.
Is this guy, is he a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Sure. Yeah, he is. I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, people would ask, is Joe Flacco a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Right.
Well, he was, you know, and so he can be. He's a good young quarterback. New England did not want to let him go, but we know why they did. He was in his third or fourth year there. They had to make a move, and they had Tom Brady. I mean, what are you going to do? And
so
people, I love it when people say, well, they should have kept him. Well, all they did without him was go to the Super Bowl three times.
They might have been able to get a better deal, though, Clark. Let's be fair.
Yeah, oh, no, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you want Tom Brady, you want Jimmy Garoppolo, I want Tom Brady.
Of course,
50
of course.
60, but
when they win two Super Bowls after the trade, it kind of makes it a tough point to argue.
Yeah, that's right. They went to three. I mean, but the fact of the matter is, this guy can win when he has to. And as I said, 22-5 overall. I think he's 20-5 with San Francisco. And we saw sort of the beginning when he was in New England, when Brady had that suspension. He played those two games. So it looked like there was something there. Then when he goes to San Francisco, when he finished out that season 2 years ago, I think it was the last six games, he didn't lose. I thought, boy, he's got that it factor. You just watch him. There's something special about him. Then he gets hurt, and people say, was he going to be injury prone? Well, now he's gone through a 16-game season.
Which was very important for him,
Very important, and as you've said, all he does is win. And I go back to that Patriot way where they go, I don't care how many interceptions, what his passer rating is, yardage, all we want is a guy who knows how to win, and this guy does. He's playing well. He doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have to be Drew Brees, but he can be, and we saw again that in the New Orleans game, and I think of that fourth down pass to Kittle. a great shot, but it's also a great run by Kittle after the catch. They've got the weapons, they've got the defense, and they've got the offensive line. Plus, more importantly, they're healthy and they're home. Yeah. So I don't know where you're going to tick this thing off of saying that's where they're vulnerable. And probably your listeners, again, will say, well, if it's Garoppolo versus Rodgers, yeah, I get that.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be that.
No, but you know what? Honestly, as great as Aaron Rodgers is, we haven't seen it all year where if that's the kind of game they're going to play, I think right now the passing offense of the Niners is more dangerous to me than the passing offense of the Packers. And that's what scares me most about the team. Because it's great that they can run and play defense and win a game like that. But ultimately, if you're telling me you have Aaron Rodgers and you're not confident in a quarterback versus quarterback kind of game, well, then, you know, I think that's a huge negative for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But I saw throws from Rodgers last week.
Yes.
To Aaron Rodgers.
That is true. And he made the big plays.
He hasn't fallen off the cliff. I mean, these
no.
Guys,
oh, no, 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 no. Yeah, I'm not trying to say, I don't think his skill set is as diminished. I just think this team has never got it together, whether it be the weapons, whether it be the new offense, whether it be the idea that he's leaning so much on the run game, which is unusual for him, and he's just been unable to find it. But, no, we saw the throw. The third down throw to Adams could not have been thrown better.
Right. Well, they've gotten it together. They're 14-3. I mean, that is true. They're winning ball games.
They are.
This is a very good team, and they've got the same record as San Francisco. But the fact of the matter is, I just think when you line up here and you look at position by position, the 49ers score more heavily than the Packers do. Yeah, the Packers have the better quarterback, but then you look at other areas and say, geez, how are they going to cover Kittle? What right. about these running backs? Samuels, I mentioned. What about Sanders? What are they going to do here? They've got weapons galore, and they can beat you all sorts of ways, and Robbie Gould as well. But I just wonder how Rodgers is going to solve that defense. And you know, he's a great quarterback, and I know he's had moments of greatness this year, but as you said, to just open the segment, he's got to be vintage Aaron Rodgers. He's got to be at his very best for them, to me, to at least have a chance. And I'm saying not win, I'm saying have a chance.
Clark, thank you very much for the time. You did a great job. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the football tomorrow, man. I really appreciate it.
Will do. Take care. Thanks for calling.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.